3, 2, 1, go. Flies, huh? You love it when you're round. You tell us to pull up, cause you know we shut it down. Flies, huh? You love it when you're round. You tell us to pull up, cause you know we shut it down. Flies, huh? You love it when you're round.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a special episode of the Curvy Chick Chronicles. Woo! You guys, first of all, Happy New Year, okay? Because this is the first time I'm talking to you guys in the new year. So Happy New Year. Oh my goodness. The way 2023 flew and the way this particular year is already flying. Ha, Omo. Anyways, I digress. So, how was your new year? Did you do anything fun? How was your Christmas? Did you do anything fun for Christmas as well? Christmas for me, it hasn't really been, should I say, Christmassy in years. I think the joy of Christmas is really felt when you're a child. I don't know, for some reason, I think between Christmas decorations and, you know, parents working really hard to make Christmas happen. Yeah, I think that was what really shaped Christmas. But Omo, as an adult, like, why am I giving myself the extra work of putting up Christmas decorations, looking for a Christmas tree, putting up the tree? Why? Just to take it down in like 2-3 weeks? I don't think so. So I think that was where Christmas started to kind of wah. So, you know, the older I get, I try to test out new ways of quote-unquote celebrating Christmas, so, you know, I can maybe come up with something that I would enjoy, and maybe that could be the new Christmas tradition for me. Because, you know, part of growing up is really forming your own ideologies, you know, ways of thinking, ways of living, ways of being that work for you, that maybe, you know, your parents try to, I don't really say enforce, they try to get you to like or get you to conform to. But there are some things, you know, that it's just not you, so you're like, oh man, I can't wait to grow up so I don't have to do this, so I could do this my way. So yeah, grew up and, you know, just kind of like, okay, well, what do I like? So this year, I ordered some food from a restaurant I've been wanting to try, and I stayed home. I didn't go out. I stayed in my bedroom. I binge watched Netflix series. Ironically, I was watching true crime series the whole day. Let's not get into that. But if you haven't seen Dirty John, oh my god, I think you should see it if you are into the true crime genre. I did that, you know, I made some really bomb cocktails. I ordered some dessert from a little bakery that I like and some ice cream, and I had a very wonderful day. I mean, by like 7 p.m. I think, child, I was nice. Like, you know, when you're not drunk, you're just about tipsy and in between drunk, you know, like that nice feeling. My drinkers know that feeling. Yeah, I was nice, and that was a good day. New Year's Day, not gonna lie, I did the same thing because I enjoyed it so much. I was like, oh, I can't wait for New Year's Day to do this again. So that was pretty much my holiday. And now we're at the next holiday. It's my birthday. Hey, one time for the birthday girl. Oh my gosh. After 21, 25, 30, obviously this is my next age, but I've wanted to be 33 for a while or more. I'm so obsessed with the age, like shamefully obsessed. The magnitude of, I don't know if it's what the age means to me. I don't know if it's angel numbers, you know, 333. I don't know, but I have been obsessed with this age. Ugh, obsessed is not even the word. Stepping into my Jesus year, excited, thrilled, passionate, filled with renewed purpose, renewed grace, renewed anointing, hell, renewed energy, renewed passion, renewed love, a renewed mind. Ooh! Like, I could not wait to record this episode. Tell you how much I cannot wait. My laptop is actually in the store getting fixed, but I'm recording this episode on my phone because I said I can simply not wait another day, another hour to do this episode, because I just feel the words like pouring out of me. And oh, the gratitude, you guys, gratitude wound me. I'm so grateful. Like, damn. Omo, Aniki, it's been quite a journey. It has been quite a mother fucking journey. Damn. If you've known me a long time, you will understand all the dams. And if you're just meeting me, you're like, ah, why is she? Damn. But man, I'm so grateful. I'm so happy. I have really come into my own as a woman, as a person. My mind, like 23 or 22 year old Aniki would be so freaking proud of me and the work that I've literally put in to really be, I think, the person I am today, that really looks at life the way I look at life. And that is a blessing. So today's episode, I really just I feel like I want to share some nuggets. I want to share some nuggets and share some tips that nobody asked me for, right? I want to talk about things that, you know, over the years, things that I've learned. Hell, I'm going to talk about some mistakes that I made. You know what? Those are not mistakes, those are lessons. Yeah, we're gonna start calling mistakes lessons. But honey, there are some lessons that I had no business learning, eh? But agidi, I get coconut head, I know the hear what. I went and I learned those lessons, but that's fine. Everything is experience and stories for my grandchildren. That's fine. So let's talk about the birthday splizzle. Everything has a reason. And there are some people that you meet, if you keep them in your life longer than they are supposed to be in your life, you can literally end up changing the entire trajectory of your life. I say this to say that there are some people that maybe they're supposed to be in your life for a year, 6 months, and you develop such an attachment to them that letting go of them, literally, you're not willing to do that. God will literally keep those people in your life
for them to start to hurt you and teach you lessons you have no business learning, until one day yourself you wake up and say, okay, my mumu don't do, and you are ready to move forward. So I've always been surrounded by women like that, and I just love them so much. I was talking to my girlfriend today or yesterday, and I was just like reflecting, and I really have spent, and this is not like some boohoo sad, oh my gosh, heartbreak story, this is just me reflecting. I really have spent most of my birthdays single. Like, I get into relationships, and it's either a long distance relationship, so we don't get to spend my birthday together, or before my birthday, we break up. That's just it. That has always literally been the theme. And it's just, I don't know if it's sad, but I find it weird. The only relationship that I was in during my birthday, though that was also a long distance relationship, so yeah, but this person wasn't into birthdays at all. Now, it's one thing to, you know, be a birthday person, like, oh my gosh, I love birthdays so much, and then among their people, I think maybe this is a bulk of people in the world that are just like, it's my birthday, it's another day, you know, thank God, and then they go on with their life, right? But there's a special set of people that when they're with people, or when they have people in their lives that are quote unquote birthday people, they make it an assignment rather to get into that energy or give those birthday people the vibes they're looking for. I say this to say that literally it came to me today, like literally, and I was like, this is so brilliant. It literally came to me today, and I just heard it, and it said, you know, things that are important to you, people that genuinely love you, they will honor that thing. Do you get that? Like, if something is important to you and somebody loves you, that thing that is important to you, like very important to you, don't you think it should also be important to the person? I don't know. I think so. I think that's how it should be. I have friends that are not birthday people, and on their birthdays, you know, I'll celebrate with them to the degree which they want. I can tone it down a little bit to like, okay, I'm not being so extra, but they still know that, okay, this person loves me very much, because I feel like birthdays are a day that you really get a chance to show people how much they mean to you, which is probably why I take the whole birthday energy thing very serious. So anyways, this person, birthdays were not important to him. So literally discussing this stuff with my girlfriend really reminded me and took me back. And I was just like, I don't know why I stuck around for as many birthdays as I did. Because literally, almost every birthday, this person made me feel smaller than I was. They didn't actually do it or say anything that it's like, oh, that is abuse. Do you get? But the way they would just, the nonchalance they would display, and just a lackadaisical attitude in general, really would, I think the first 2 years, and I've talked about this relationship, you guys know this relationship, I talked about it even last time, how I had no business being in that relationship as long as I was, which was also God like, you don't want to let go of this person, Abby. Okay, no, well, and just allowed my mind to just be, oh Lord. So the person would literally just like, oh, happy birthday, babe, or something like that. And that would just be the end. And here I am expecting some of my women and expectations. We didn't try. I'll be expecting some very long letter. You're the apple of my eyes. You're the cockroach in my cupboard. Without you, I know well. Le Romeo and Juliet. Like, I would be, oh God. Assumption is the mother of disappointment. You can't tell me any otherwise. And I would be expecting that. And I would just get like, happy birthday, babe. God bless you, or something weird, like something weird like that. And the time that I would get it, oh Lord, maybe the birthday is already almost over. Meanwhile, people have been messaging me maybe since like 12 midnight. And initially, it used to frustrate me and hurt me so bad. Because I'm like, why? Why is this stuff not important to this person? I could never get it. But I think that's just how some people are. But fun fact, it was so funny that when we did break up and a couple of years later, he wanted us to get back together. And literally, I kid you not, that particular birthday, he was the very first person to call my phone at 12 midnight. So what does that tell you, ladies? If he wanted to, he would. Do with that little information what you will. Meanwhile, I had a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, well, not a friend of mine, probably like my actual soulmate, that also wasn't a birthday person. But because I was a birthday person, he really made it his mission to always make me feel like very loved and very seen and very validated on my birthdays. So just a little advice for up and coming chiquitos and baby girls. Whatever you do, never love anyone who treats you like you're ordinary. I think Oscar Wilde said that. Yep, shout out to Oscar Wilde. Never love anyone who treats you like you're ordinary, because years later, that resentment is gonna sting like a motherfucker. It is well. So anyways, back to what we were discussing. So because of that energy, that has really, I don't want to say that has shaped my mindset, but I tend to just kind of not really expect men to go over and beyond for me on my birthday. And that didn't just start with homeboy. This is a trauma that is deeply rooted in my daddy issues. Growing up and literally having a dad who never actually remembered the birthday. And I'm laughing, but this shit is traumatic as fuck. Being a birthday person and literally having a dad who, like, for years, my dad would argue with me that my birthday was January 12th, not January 11th. But that's a whole different topic. Like, we're gonna have a daddy issues episode sometime in the future. So that really, the bar was in hell. the bar was in hell. Like, anyways, I kid you not. Aside the fact that yes, he would forget the birthday, when he did in fact remember or was reminded, in true Igbo father tradition, he would try to use money to make things better. And I think at a young age, I just kind of learned that, okay, he forgets birthday, and then, you know, I get lots of toys. Like, I'm talking, by the time he would show up and remember the birthday, we would go to the store. And even as a child, he would just be like, pick out whatever you want, you know, trying to assuage my emotions. And I would just probably also out of anger, I would literally probably pick and pull down everything on the shelves, to the point that, you know, back in the 90s, there was nothing like ATM cards, like, where you want to see that one? So, Igbo businessman, his briefcase now, his briefcase full of cash, like Onyeji cash. And I would pull down everything to the point that the money in that briefcase will actually finish. And my dad would literally have to start writing checks for the stores. And that was just how things went. So growing up, you know, starting to date and everything, my quote unquote soulmate kind of set the tone a little bit. And then just as the tone was going up, like, okay, oh wow, my birthday is important to the person I'm, you know, to the man in my life, quote unquote, then, you know, I went and I got myself in that relationship, and it was just kind of like a wah. And since then, I just convinced myself that, yeah, let's call him soulmate. The soulmate was simply an exception, and that's just how it is. And this in itself is a very, very bad way of thinking. And I never actually realized on time that I've been thinking or operating like that. I just think like, oh, you know, it's normal. But no, it's actually not normal. Like, I have the power to decide, you know, okay, this is how I want to be treated and what I'm going to put up with, versus, okay, this is just how things are going to be. And if you decide that, oh, well, this is how, you know, things are, you really have a way of, like, keeping yourself in, I don't know what the word is, keeping yourself in a balloon. Yeah, let's call it a balloon. You keep yourself in this vacuum balloon, and you're just like, oh, bouncing around like, well, that's just the way it is. And keeping yourself in that balloon, you're also denying yourself the opportunity to experience something different, or experience something that lets you know that this is just not how it is. But when you keep yourself in that balloon and you're just bouncing around with the mindset that that's how it is, a very funny thing about life is that that is like the energy that you will actually start to attract. Because in a very weird way, the law of attraction is actually crazy, because you'll be thinking that this is the way something is. And because you're thinking that is the way it is, unbeknownst to you, that is the energy that you are operating in, and that is the energy that you are operating and projecting to the world. And because you're operating and projecting that energy, you're going to continue to attract that energy, or people with that kind of energy, and you will just be confused, because then you will now be going through relationships or going through life really just operating in fearful avoidance mode. And that's trauma. And yes, I know to some degree I operate in trauma. I didn't know I was that bad, you know. Because I thought it's common knowledge to kind of meet people, and not really, it's not that I see the worst in people, but I meet people and, should I say, I assume or wait for the worst to happen so that I can kind of be like, I knew it. But then by having that mindset, I'm also low-key attracting those people that are going to prove me right. It's like subconsciously, my mind is drawn to people that are going to prove me right. And then sometimes, manifestation is very, very important. You might even be the person that's manifesting that in that person. Because in your mind, you already have this kind of negativity. Like, I don't want to call it negativity. Negativity feels like such a harsh word. You already have this way of thinking that, okay, this is how it's going to be. This is how it is. Ah, this is how it always is. So why is it going to be different this time? And we as humans, not really knowing the power that we do possess, even the Bible says that the tongue is a very powerful weapon. We speak that, we declare that, we put that in the atmosphere, we put that energy out there and have the audacity to be surprised when that happens. And that's trauma. That is seriously operating in fight or flight mode. And for the longest time, I pride myself on being a very self-aware person. Bitch, I was not aware of this particular scope of mine until literally yesterday, today. And I was so fixated and thinking about it that, oh my goodness, trauma is such a multi-dimensional wound. When you feel like you've gotten through one layer, and you're like, oh, the sun is shining, the flowers are blooming, you know, I'm on my way to, I don't know, to my final destination or whatever, you will stumble on something else. And that's why they always say healing is not linear, and healing is not a one day thing. It's not a destination or whatever. Really, it's a lifelong journey to self. Because you're going to be stumbling and relearning and stumbling and relearning things that have been with you for a very long time and you didn't even realize. I just thought that was the way things are. It wasn't until I was talking to my friend and I complained to her about something and I was like, oh, this is what I think this person is doing. And she was literally like, oh, wow. We pondered the situation together and she was like, but what if what you are thinking it is? What if the reality is the opposite of what you are thinking? Honey, I almost lost my mind. I almost lost my mind because I was like, what? That was an approach that I had never thought about. I was just like, oh, what I'm thinking is correct. This person did this on purpose. They wanted to hurt me. They wanted to avoid accountability. And she was like, what if it's the opposite of what you're thinking? But because my mind is really stuck in that fight or flight mode, my mind never for once thought that, babe, how far? What if this thing that you're thinking is not it? What if it's the opposite of what you're thinking? And I felt so bad after that conversation because I was like, I'm starting to do the work or starting again to like, okay, let me disassemble this particular feeling or thought and realizing that that's generally been who I am. It's weird because I am an optimist. Well, I was an optimist until I got to Nigeria. Now I'm a realist. Nigeria does slap the optimism like your words. Be like saying it, Chris. Like, so I'm a realist now who moonlights as an optimist and part-time pessimist. Yes. So it's so interesting being, you know, basically having an optimistic outlook on the world, but then really having a pessimistic outlook towards people, especially men. Women, I don't really have too many issues with women. I think because I had very strong female role models and figures in my life, and will always have, I can trust women. But you see, that other gender, and it does not help what Yoruba men are doing. It does not help what Yoruba men are doing and how they are just breaking hearts and scattering things. But Again, this is also a very different episode. So let me not sway, because if I start to sway, oh Lord, we're going to go down a very murky rabbit hole. So talking to my friend, I began to realize that I've always been like that. You know, a lot of people, when they get in relationships, they love falling in love. Normal people, they love falling in love. They love those honeymoon stages before, you know, shit starts getting tough, before they start doing love and war. They love the feeling, the butterflies, the dopamine, all of those things. Meanwhile, I've always been the opposite. I hate falling in love. Like, I have a very serious love-hate relationship with it. I love love, but I am so fearful of love. And in many ways, that fear has held me back for years and years without me even knowing it. That fear has held me back when I felt that I have gotten over that fear of love, and I tried to trick myself, or rather myself tricked me into thinking I had gotten over that fear, and I thought I was okay moving, you know, forward and moving out of that fear. Meanwhile, that fear was like, that fear had me in a fucking chokehold. Everywhere I go, MTN, I'd be AT&T, just following me. And I had no idea. I just know that the feeling of falling in love for me, well, the fear was almost paralyzing. Like, I dreaded falling in love. The uncertainty of falling in love. Is this person going to hurt me? Is this person going to break my heart? It's not even is. What am I saying? Why? What am I saying? Let me be honest with you guys. When is this person going to hurt me? When is this person going to break my heart? When is this person going to leave? When is this person going to do something to make me leave them? When is this person going to stop showing me this sweet character and show me their real self? When is the other shoe going to drop? Do you know how crazy it is to live a life like that? You will be in so much fear and anxiety. That's why fearful avoidance. How I didn't really pay attention to the fact that my fearful avoidance attachment style heavily was implemented in my love and dating style. It's so funny, considering that I actually studied psychology. So I don't even want to get into that part with myself, because I will still ask myself questions later. But learning that, you know, I've constantly operated in that fear. Like, when? If not now, when? If not now, when? And that caused me to not be able to relax or enjoy that feeling of new love, falling in love, you know, building that intricate bond with someone, getting to know someone intrinsically, that vulnerability that comes with getting to know someone on that level. I was not able to enjoy that in a good majority of my relationships because I was always waiting for the when. when I was always waiting for that when, and that is a debilitating mindset to have, because you can never be comfortable, and because you're not comfortable, you're literally one foot in, one foot out, because you are just waiting for it to happen so that you can run, so that you can flee, fight or flight. You're waiting for it to happen. And guess what? The mind is so powerful that while you're waiting for it to happen, if it's not happening fast enough, your mind is going to auto-engineer ways to make it happen faster. Enter self-sabotaging. You start like, oh, He usually says, "Hi, how are you, darling?" Today he said, "Hi, how are you, dear?" Who is dear? Oh, he says good night to me. He didn't say good night to me this night. Oh, he doesn't end his conversations with full stop. Now he's ending it in full stops. Oh, he calls me 3 times a day. Now he only called me 1 time a day. Like, do you just want to be friends? Should we be friends? Do you want to break up? Do you not love? Oh, God. See, if you're listening and you're in your 20s, darling, save yourself the stress. Say what you mean what you say. Even if you're afraid, even if you're fearful, what I've learned is that conversations help a great deal. Have conversations with your partner. This is how I feel. This is how I'm feeling. Sometimes even just vocalizing these thoughts, vocalizing these fears, strips them of their very power. Because I kid you not, when my friend said to me, "This thing can be what you are thinking," but what if it is the opposite of what you are thinking? Since then, the rage that was boiling inside me has stopped. Because I actually now sat down and thought, like, what if this baby is correct? What if she's not wrong? Vocalizing these things strips it of its power. Sometimes, too, even if you don't have anybody to talk to, say those thoughts out loud. For some reason, something might sound like it makes sense in your head. You might be like, "Oh, this is fucking brilliant." When you say it out, you'll be like, "What the fuck was that?" You hear how, I don't want to say how stupid it sounds. No, let's say it. You will hear how stupid it sounds and you'll be like, "What?" So sometimes vocalize those things, say it out loud, strip it of its fear, of its power. Because when you allow this thing to have this power over you, this fear of this, fear of that, "Oh, I don't want to do this. Oh, this person is going to break my heart. Oh, dee-dee-dee." And this is advice for literally every aspect of your life. You allow it to hold you back. You allow it to hold you back. Because one thing with fear is that fear paralyzes you. And you will not know. You will feel like you are moving. You will feel like, that's the craziest part. You will feel like you are moving, like, okay. Meanwhile, fear is holding you back from a lot of things. Not just relationships. This applies in even business. This applies in business. Funny enough, I realized it with business and I've been able to combat that. But you see this, my interpersonal relationships and romantic relationships, Omo? Now we're the wahala day. Because I realized that in business and I said to myself, you know what? Even if you are afraid, just start. Start it afraid. Be moving forward afraid. As you go, do it in fear. One day, like fake it till you make it, one day that fear is going to disappear. Just do it afraid. And that has always been my approach to business. Anytime I want to start a business, I do not hesitate. Once the idea comes to me and, you know, I do my research, I marinate on it, I pray on it, I look into it, and it feels like something that I should do, I don't say, "Aniki, what if you lose money? Aniki, what if this?" I don't do that. I just start it. Start it and let God handle the rest. So long as I know I'm doing my best, I just start it. So that has been something that I've always taken in business. So imagine me kind of unable to now take that in my interpersonal relationships. It's crazy. And I'm going to give you guys, especially for people who maybe are looking into starting their own business, I literally gave myself, should I call it a template? Yeah, I'll call it a template. I call it the 6 P's of business. Aniki won't turn business influencer like this. The six P's of business, because I always say to myself, when I have any idea and I'm kind of dilly-dallying against it, I always say to myself, my pain or my fear is a precursor to my passion. My pain or my fear is a precursor to my passion. Meaning, that's fear. That's quote unquote fear or pain. That is what will come before the greatness. So if you now decide to now stay in that mode instead of moving into the next mode, omo, atol na in bad o, na you lose o. That's just it. Because if you are looking to grow in business, or you are looking to grow in life, and you let yourself be stuck in that fear, you let yourself be stuck in that stage, not knowing that, omo, there are people in the world that their breakthrough is tied to your destiny. Let that sink in. There are people in the world, their breakthrough is tied to your destiny and your purpose, and you realizing that I'm starting the walk. So I say this to say that if you are faithful with something small, God will entrust you with more. So start in that fear. Let me give you guys my six P's of business. The number one is pain. Pain is your story and your journey. Pain is, okay, that fear, that what if, oh, how will I, oh, I've not been able to, oh, where I come from, nobody in my family has done this, nobody that, that is what that pain is. Passion. Passion is the talent that sparks you. What are you passionate about? I always tell people in business, if you are doing business and you're not passionate about that business, oh, forget that thing. Go and look for a 9-to-5 job. Because you see, passion is what is going to hold you down. There will be days when, that pain or those fears go on swallow you, because you can never predict the economy, except maybe you are into casket business or mortuary business. People will always die in here, but that's a different topic. But any other business, with the way the economy is, there's always some instability, you know, there's always some instability in the way things are running. You need to have that passion, because some days will be good days. Some days, if you are selling things, you make 50 something, hundreds of sales, and there'll be days when almost there'll be 2-3-0 sales. That passion is going to keep you there. Purpose. What is your purpose? What is your God-given talent? Are you walking in your purpose? Are you operating in, okay, this is what God instilled inside me that I am pouring back out to the world? Are you walking in that or not? Because if you are aligned with the things that God has planned for you, or if you are aligned with the things that your destiny, your chi, your creator, the higher being that you believe in has installed or has planned for you, it's going to be much easier than if you are, let's say, you're somebody that, okay, your talent is, let me see, your talent is maybe counseling, soothing people, having an ability to speak life into people, and then your purpose is now in line with that, and maybe you're supposed to be a pastor, a counselor of sorts, right? You now decide that you want to go and be a wrestler. Oh my God, that was so funny. I don't know why that was so funny. So you can see, Oma, they will beat you like you stole something. They will beat the hell out of you, in the words of Tinubu. They will beat you, because like, what are you doing here? Even the angels and God will be like, see this person that I sent here, what are they doing, you know? So try to sit down, discuss with yourself one-on-one, have a board meeting with yourself. What is my passion? And as you're aligning your passion, you need to start asking the whatever spirits you talk to, spirit guide, ancestor, angels, you know, I don't judge anybody, whatever it is that you believe in, try to, what is my purpose? What am I supposed to do? Everybody has a purpose on this planet. What am I supposed to do? Then after you are able to align yourself with that, the next thing is a pivot. A pivot is now a turning point where you now start to sit down and come up with plans, like, how do I turn this around? How do I use this passion, pain, purpose into something for the greater good and make this into something tangible where I can either sell products or I can offer services? How do I do that? That's pivots. After pivot, you have products. Product is either what you are selling or what your service you are offering is. From your products, if you have done your piece in the line of which they should be, the next step is profits. Yes, because A, money is neutral, energy is flowing. So if you have aligned all the energies, that's, let me say, you've aligned your chakras, your pain, your passion, your purpose, your pivot, the product, profit is naturally the next ascending order of how things come. And from there, darling, when you start making your profits, you just keep on repeating that process. You duplicate yourself, you hire people, you keep it going, you keep getting your name out there, visibility. Your pain, your fear is a precursor to your passion. I just try to always remind myself that. So I've always operated in that. Like, and I always say to myself, even when I'm having a hard time in business, I'll say, and I'm thinking, oh, what are you going to do? Oh, what are you? I will always remember myself, no, life is happening for me. It is not happening to me. Like, all this economy, whatever happening, it is normal. It is not the universe punishing me or something. That's just the way it is. Life is happening for me. What can I do to champion past this, not get stuck in this moment? So I'm able to do that in business. But when it comes to... when it comes to relationships, like, the fear, I was just paralyzing fear. So one of my things that I'm going to be working on this new age, this new darling age of 33, I'm going to start, like, challenging my negative thoughts. Because you're a dirty, stinking motherfucking bastard. How dare you limit me in things that I should not be limited in? The actual audacity of fear and my inner child, because this all goes back to an inner child who didn't necessarily feel seen or particularly feel loved by male figures in their life. And it has just, this shit has fucking spiraled long enough. And I'm just at a point where I think I'm really just over the shits. So I'm going to start challenging those thoughts. Once something crazy pops in my head, and trust me, if there's anything crazy it's going to do, it's pop in my head. I'm going to challenge it out loud. Like, bitch, do you want to fight me? But no, I'm going to be like, no, what if, you know? Because even my therapist told me this years ago, feelings are not facts. And when I feel myself being crazy or having all these spiraling thoughts, I will actually remember his words. And then a voice in my head would be like, and so what? And continue spiraling. Do you know how crazy that is for somebody to have told you and affirmed you that, listen, feelings aren't facts. Feelings can literally change in the next 30 minutes, 1 hour. They are not facts. And for you to remind your brain of that, and your brain is like, bitch, and so what? And continue to spiral. If there's anything you're going to do today, say a prayer for me, okay? Because we battle not against, but against principalities and the brain and the mind. And sometimes they be winning. So I'm going to do that personally this year. because I'm calling in everything that is for me. I'm calling it in this year. I'm calling in love. I'm calling in grace. I'm calling in settlement. I'm calling in ease. I'm calling in profits. I'm calling in success. I'm calling in lucrative business opportunities. I'm calling in brand visibility, brand exposure, brand growth. Oh my God, I'm calling in hell. I'm calling in children. I'm calling in marriage. I'm calling in expensive, luxurious things and luxurious trips. I'm calling in wealth. I'm calling in peace. I'm calling in joy. I'm coming for every single thing that is mine this year, and I'm not playing, and the devil better get himself out of my way, because it's going to be on sites. But no, really, I just feel like everything that I have been through in life, all the unnecessary learnings and even the necessary ones, everything I feel has really prepared me to be this person, be as self-aware as I am, and still learning self-awareness because it never stops, and to be so sure of myself and in my person. I'm really proud of that. I'm proud of me. I'm proud of my growth. I'm proud of my heart, because child, I done been through some things, but you know, she's still here. She's still beating. She's still trying to love and trying to find ways to heal and grow and move past things. And I'm so thankful for that. And a thought came to my mind when I was spiraling one of these days, you know, over the whole birthday stuff, and really not feeling like I've really ever had, except for one birthday, not feeling like I've, no, hell, not even that birthday. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. I just uncovered a memory. Does anybody else have that issue where your brain hides things from you, and then one day your brain is just surprise, 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 surprise. Yeah, that happens to me often, and I'm like, no, you should have kept that hidden. But yeah, just kind of feeling like I've never really had good romantic energy on my birthday, and I'm just like, geez, what does that feel like? I'm desiring of that. Yeah, so I'm like, what does that feel like? And when I was spiraling, I heard a little birdie in my head tell me, or remind me, you know, Aniki, you still haven't met half the people that are going to love you in this lifetime. And that is a blessing. That is a fucking blessing that I cannot take for granted. And I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for you and you and you and you and you. This is for you. You. Okay. I'm going to stop, because you can tell by the silliness of this episode, you know, I'm having a very playful, music-y kind of day. I'm very happy. I'm overflowing with gratitude. I'm overflowing with love. I'm overflowing with thanksgiving. I'm really grateful for the listeners, for this podcast, even though my ass is not consistent and I'm failing woefully at that, but I'm going to do better this year. I give you my honor. I give you my word. I'm thankful for the growth it has had. I'm thankful for all my other brands and the growths that they are experiencing. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for life. I'm thankful to experience this new age, and I'm walking in, you know, very godly, divine, feminine energy, and really claiming all that is mine this year. You know, the lines have fallen for me in the most pleasant of places. I can't complain. I have a godly heritage. So talk to you guys later. Peace and love. Bye.